Well, and turn to Psalm chapter 65. Psalm chapter 65. Of course, now we would only slip out if it's an emergency. If you do need to slip out, when you come back in, we'll have you set toward the back. And if you do slip out, use the back exits, not this front exit here. Psalm chapter 65, I want you to find verse number 6. Psalm 65, verse 6. Would you stand with me, please, as we read the Word of God? Psalm 65, starting with verse number 6. And the Bible says, "Which by his strength setteth fast the mountains, being girded with power, which stilleth the noise of the sea, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the people. They also that dwell in the uttermost part are afraid at the tokens that thou makest the outgoings of the morning and evening to rejoice. Thou visitest the earth, and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn, which thou hast so provided for it. Thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly. Thou settlest the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers. Thou blessest the springing thereof. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness." That's the sermon this morning. The year of goodness. Let me pray. Father, bless us now. Meet with us. Holy Spirit, still the crowd. May our minds be attentive to the Word of God. Limit the interruptions. God, give me the attention of the people as I give you my attention. Make a difference in our lives as we start out another year, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there, if you will. If you noticed in verse number 11, it used the words, "Crownest the year with thy goodness." Now, just a few days ago, we started another year. Year number 2016. Oh, there were New Year's parties all over the place. The one we had here was one where you could have a good time and not wake up with a hangover the next morning. If you went to the other kind, you shouldn't have been at that kind of a meeting. You say, why? Because here God is recommending to us that we crown the year, or I think he's saying you ought to have a good year. And that means you start the year out in a good way, doing good things. Be good to people. Here at our church, let's be good to one another. Let's take this idea of goodness and let's use it in our lives. But whatever you do, don't start your year out in a bad way. Now we're at the beginning of 2016. Let's start this thing in the right way. Now, for some reason, and I don't know why, the new year, the beginning of the year, motivates people. And they want to do some things. It's the new year. It's kind of maybe gives us a fresh start or a clean slate. The merchants of America know that. All over the infomercials and everywhere, they're advertising all sorts of things where they can make money off of you because they know that it's the beginning of the year. And at the beginning of the year, you have a desire to have a fresh start at some things. And you're thinking, well, 2015, there's some things I didn't accomplish. So in 2016, I'm going to accomplish those things. And the merchants are saying there's a bunch of people out there that are ready to spend their money so they can accomplish something in 2016. You just take their way of enticing you to stop smoking. They're going to say to you, if you'll chew this gum, it'll help you stop smoking. If you'll read this book, buy my book, it will help you stop smoking. If you'll put this patch on, it will help you stop smoking. If you'll smoke using these filters, it will help you stop smoking. If you'll go to this clinic, they can help you stop smoking. If you'll watch this video, it could help you stop smoking. If you'll take this pill, it will help you stop smoking. If you'll get this tattoo, it will help you stop smoking. If you'll come, I can hypnotize you and I can help you stop smoking. They even have cigarettes that you smoke to help you stop smoking cigarettes. I can get you an electronic cigarette that will help you stop smoking. And they're saying to you, you need a fresh start. And there are all sorts of people that said on New Year's Eve, my resolution is I'm going to stop smoking. And they're going to make all sorts of money off of it, and it's going to last a couple of weeks. And then then we'll make the same resolution next January again. And then they come along and they say, okay, they're going to be willing to spend their money to lose weight. And they're going to say, if you will get this DVD of this exercise, Taibo, if you will learn yoga, boy, you get yourself tied up in a knot someday, we won't be able to get you untied. That's why they're cross-eyed people. I mean, you get all tied up like that. Hey, and they'll say to you, make sure that you reduce the amount of fat that you take in, or reduce the amount of carbohydrates you take in. Drink this Hollywood helper. It'll make you look like the people in Hollywood. Just eat grapefruit. If all you'll do is eat grapefruit, you'll lose weight. Look, folks, if all you do is eat grapefruit, you probably will lose weight. But I'm not sure that's real, real good for you. Get you a Bowflex, or a Thighflex, or a Biflex, or a Bunflex, or whatever it is. They're going to tell you. They've got electric impulse weight loss. You're going to shock it off. You know, you're going to shock it off. You know, stick your finger in the socket and you'll lose some weight. At least some water weight you'll lose right there. Liposuction. You suck it in, we'll suck it out. I mean, they're going to help you. Eat what you want and then take our pill called the Fat Trapper. Eat anything you want. Take our pill and the little pill gets in there and it absorbs all the food and then you get rid of that food. I'm telling you. The Metabobuster. It's going to help your metabolism. Hypnosis. Try the Atkins diet. Try Jenny Craig. Hey, try those of you that understand it. Sweating to the Oldies with Richard Simmons. Yeah. Get you a salon wrap, a mud pack. Get you a treadmill or a Nordic track. My answer is this: duct tape. Just duct tape your mouth shut and you'll be all right. You can lose weight. You don't have to spend all that money. But folks, if you're watching, they're advertising it everywhere. I mean, they're going to make money off of you so that you will start the year out right and not destroy your health with smoking. And then they're going to come along and say, let's all pull together and lose weight. And so here's all the ways we're going to do it. And they're going to make some money off of you for that. And everybody wants a clean start. Cleaning. They're going to talk to us about organizing and cleaning. If you go to the stores now, they've got their big tubs for organizing, and they've got them right out front. When you walk into the front, you go to Lowe's, you go to Target, you go to Walmart, and you're going to see Tupperware tubs and organizing devices, because they're saying to you, let's organize in 2016. They're going to tell you, let's clean things up. Get you this storage tub. Get you some OxiClean. Get you some Orange Glow. Hey, more cleaning, and you don't have to work at it. They'll tell you to get some Tuckerware or Tupperware or Gladware or underwear or Sterilite and Rubbermaid. Get a computerized schedule. Get it together. It's a new year. Well, I think everybody wants to have a good start to their year. But let me tell you something. God wants you to have a good year. The physical aspect of things, the world even knows, at the beginning of the year, we feel like maybe we could have a fresh start. We think about that in regard to our health. There's some people in here, and I hope you do. You're going to get you an exercise program, and I hope you do. I have one. 4 laps around the refrigerator, stop, rest, get something for my energy, and take 4 more laps around the fridge. But listen, we're going to want to exercise, and boy, we're going to want to get things organized, and there's so many things that we want to do. Here in Psalm 65:11, it talks about a fresh start. It talks about a year being started with goodness. Let me give you some ideas today about that idea. I call the sermon the Year of Goodness. You and I ought to want 2016 to be a year of goodness. And I think God allows us some fresh starts. I think the reason why you take the right away at the beginning of the year, you celebrate the new year, and then you see the merchants coming at us with all these things, because in our thinking, we think this is it. This is a year of victory in my life. This is a year where I'm going to change this or change that about me, or I'm going to fix this or organize that. And it's a natural thing. We're looking for a clean start. We're looking for a fresh start. Well, listen to me, if you will, this morning. Did you know that at salvation, God gives you a fresh start? That's salvation. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Hey, when you get saved, God says that He is going to give you a fresh start. If you're here today and you're not a born-again Christian, if you're here today, and if I ask this question, if you died today, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? If your answer is, I don't know that, can I give you a recommendation? Why don't you get yourself a fresh start for 2016 and let Jesus Christ become your personal Savior? You say, well, how will I get a fresh start out of that? Well, first of all, that'll assure you a place in heaven. But might I explain, when you ask God to come into your heart and you ask Jesus to save you, He says He's going to forgive you of your sin. He says, I'll take the sins that you've committed and I'll put them as far as the east is from the west. God said, when I save you, He gets amnesia about your sin. He said, I'll remember your sin no more. God said, when I save you, I'll place your sin behind my back. And of course, if your sin's behind God's back, He can't see it. You talk about a good fresh start. Taking your sin, putting it as far as the east is from the west. Taking your sin and Him remembering it no more. Taking your sin and putting it behind His back. Hey, He said, I'll put it in the deepest sea. That's a good fresh start. You get saved, and God will forgive you of your sin. He'll give you a place in heaven. The Lord can give you a fresh start. What a great way to start 2016. Hey, and there might be somebody here today that said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to church. You might have made a New Year's resolution where you said, well, I'm going to start 2016 out, and I'm going to find a decent church, and I'm going to go there, and I'm going to attend church. Well, you did the right thing, but I can help you with one better than that. If you're not a born again Christian, you ought to get saved today and really start the year out fresh. There's a man by the name of Dr. Lee Robertson. And he pastored a church in Chattanooga, Tennessee called the Highland Park Baptist Church. Dr. Robertson also started a Bible college called Tennessee Temple University. Dr. Robertson so believed in the forgiveness of God. He was such a good, godly man. When boys in his Bible college would get into trouble and they thought they were going to get expelled, they would walk the aisle at church and get saved. Because Dr. Robertson then wouldn't expel them to give them a new chance. Now, I don't think God ever intended it to work quite like that. But these boys would go out, if they go out and get themselves in trouble and they just knew that they were going to be expelled on Monday from college and sent home, they'd walk the aisle on Sunday and get born again, they would say, because Dr. Robertson then would forgive their transgression and give them a fresh start. Hey, better than Dr. Robertson, if you need to get saved, if you'll get born again, God will give you a fresh start, and you can get saved on Sunday and walk out of this building with Jesus Christ as your Savior and have a fresh start in life. And you say, that's really, preacher, I'm looking for a chance to kind of turn my life around. You probably won't turn your life around on your own. The best way to turn your life around is get Jesus as your Savior. Then He'll aid you in the turning around of your life thereafter. But at salvation, God gives us a fresh start. Not only that, did you know that at confession, God gives us a fresh start? And I'm not talking about a confessional booth now. I'm talking about 1 John 1:9, where it says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you want a fresh start, can I recommend something to you? Get to God and confess your sin. If you're saved and you're born again and you've got sin in your life, there's some of you, you need to get to God and say, you know what, God, it's 2016. I've got some things going on in my life. Those things have got to be taken care of. I'm coming to you to say, God, there's sin in my life. I'm confessing that sin. I'm forsaking that sin. And God, I want to start 2016 out with a better life, and I want to live my life the right way. You see, God intends for you and for me to do the best that we can to make this the best year ever. I'm excited about what God's going to do at the Twin Rivers Baptist Church in 2016. Did you know it's too late to do anything about 2015? And did you know it's too late for you to do anything about the way you lived last year, but you sure can fix up the way you're going to live from here on out. And there's somebody in here, you need to go to God and you need to say, Lord, there's some sin in my life. I want to confess that sin to you. And you know, God said when he forgives it, he is then going to forget it. He's going to put it behind you. God will give you that clean slate if you'll go to him and confess that sin. I think if there's one thing that has helped to keep me going through the years, I'm far from a good person. I want to try to become a good person, but I've been working at my Christianity, but there's one thing that's helped me to survive through the years and not quit on God. When I do something stupid, when I sin against my God, I've learned to go to him and confess it. Once I've confessed it, I believe he really forgives. I get up off my knees and I say, thank you, God. I believe you just forgave me. Now I'm going to go on and serve you. You see, there's some people, they'll go to God and confess their sin. And then when they get up, they're still morbid about their own sin. They're depressed about their own sin. And they stay down. Folks, what you do if you're a born-again Christian, you confess your sin to God, get up on your feet, and you start walking toward Jesus again. You don't give up. You don't throw in the towel. You don't get a bad attitude. He forgave you. There are people in here, you've got something that you're dealing with. You asked God to forgive you for it a long time ago, and you're still letting that thing hover over the top of you. Get past it. Let it go. Put it in the past. God did. God forgave you. He wants you to get up and have victory in 2016. You want a fresh start? Ask God to forgive you. Get you a fresh start. You want a fresh start? If you're not born again, ask Jesus to become your Savior. He'll save you. If you're already saved, start the year by starting out with confessing your sin, getting past it, and go on and live for God. Somebody here, you may need to rededicate your life in 2016. Say, this is it. This is a year I'm going to mean business for God. May I say, thirdly, you can have a fresh start with God every morning. Every morning. I love these verses. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 and 23, it says this, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Every morning God gives you a new day. You know, that sun rises in the morning showing us there's something new. We get up out of bed. You know, somebody asks you, do you get up with an alarm? Now, I wake up in the morning, but I feel like I'm being resurrected from the dead. That's how I feel. But I'll tell you something. You wake up in the morning, God has given you a new day. You say, what does that mean? God's given you another day that you can serve him, and another day that you can love him, and another day that you can get something accomplished for him. Hey, folks, let's realize that every day is a new day. Say, I had a rough day yesterday, Brother Owens. Okay, and a lot of people did. But today's a new day, and tomorrow is a new day. If you'll wake up every morning and you go to God, and you say, God, yesterday was a rough day. Maybe it is. Yesterday was a day where you misbehaved yourself. Well, wake up the next morning, get it straightened out with God, let him forgive you, and start your day out right. Our God is a God of a second chance. I heard Brother Barry the other night, those of you that are at the Watch Night service, he just talked about it. And boy, that's been the theme of restoring churches and Christianity for a long time. If you fall, get up. If you fall, get up again. If you fall, get up again. Thank God his mercies are new every morning. I had a wonderful, wonderful New Year's Day. You know, we all were here until late on New Year's Eve and had our watch night service. We had a house full of people. Every bed, there were people sleeping on the floors. There were people sleeping. We had all of our family in for over the holidays. So I get up in the morning and I take my time to walk with the Lord. And Mrs. Owens was still in bed snoring up the beat, the band, and everybody else in the house, they were all resting and still asleep, and I had gotten up in the morning, and I grabbed my Bible, and I took my Bible, and I went down by the river, and I was going to go down there and pray and read my Bible to start the new year outright. When I pulled in, it was still a little bit dark, and there was a man sleeping on a bench down there, and when I pulled in, I went over and I spent my time. I prayed for everybody in our church, and I prayed for guests to be in our church, and I read my Bible. The minute the sun came up just enough, I noticed the man that had been sleeping on the bench he began to wake up. And I went over and I asked him, have you had breakfast? He said, I have not. I said, well, this is going to be a good day. He said, I doubt it. Well, I got him breakfast, and I told him about Jesus, and I told him how Jesus would save him. And he prayed, and he asked Jesus to save him. I got to start my day out telling someone about Jesus Christ, and as I was driving away, he turned to me and he said, "I think you're right. This is going to be a good day." Well, I'll tell you, when you're on your way to hell and then you get saved, that's a pretty good way to start your day out right. But you know, that was an exciting way for me to start my year 2016, day number one, to tell someone about Jesus Christ. But folks, don't lose track of something. Jesus meets with you every morning. He's available for you every morning. And if Monday was a bad day, get up on Tuesday and take advantage of those mercies that are new every morning. And if Tuesday was a bad day, get up on Wednesday and get with God and start the day out right. And if Wednesday was a bad day, get up on Thursday morning and let God refresh you and let God help you. You see, I think God gives us fresh starts. We get a fresh start in salvation. We can get that fresh start when we confess. We get that fresh start every morning as we meet with God, the merciful one. You know, I think I'm not real big on New Year's resolutions. I think if it would motivate you to do something, go for it. You say, "I just make New Year's resolutions." Good for you if it's going to motivate you to do something. I just wish we'd make spiritual resolutions, period. We just decide we're going to do something for God. So this attitude that we have in January of let's go forward, let's conquer, let's fix things that are broken, good for you. If you'll use it to do something for God, so be it. Let me give you some things that maybe you ought to consider. Maybe you ought to make some New Year's resolutions for God. Maybe you ought to decide you're going to read your Bible every day. That'd be a good resolution. The Bible talks about the need of having bread daily, the bread being the Word of God. We eat, we feed ourselves physically every day. We ought to be feeding ourselves spiritually every day. There are people in here, you should set a goal that you will get your Bible out and you will read it. A passage, a portion of Scripture, every day for the next 365 days in a row. I wish that you would. I wish that you would do that. In our bulletin, Marie Sebastian places in our bulletin, I think it's all the way on the back page this morning, there's a Bible reading chart that if you'll read what she has suggested in there, then you will be able to read all the way through your Bible in 1 year. I will give you a Bible reading chart today. It just has every chapter of the Bible where once you read that chapter, you check it off and you'll know if you've been able to read all the way through your Bible. I'm going to make you a challenge. My mom gets up and reads her Bible every day. I watch her and Dad read their Bible every day, whether they're on vacation or whether they're visiting. We were talking the other day about reading the Bible all the way through, and she reminded me she thought she'd read her Bible all the way through 10 or 12 times in the last few years. I'll tell you something. It ought to be that way, Christians. This is the Word of God. And you ought to be reading your Bible. Somebody here needs to make a resolution. Hey, some of you used to read your Bible far more faithfully than what you do now. You ought to make a New Year's resolution to read your Bible. Somebody, hey, could I recommend that all of us, if you've never read the Bible all the way through, could I recommend that you read it all the way through? Sometime in your life, you need to start at the book of Genesis and go all the way through the last chapter of the book of Revelation, and you need to read every single word in the Bible. But it wouldn't hurt you to do it more than one time. Wouldn't hurt you to do it all the time. You say, well, what kind of Bible reading do you recommend? Just obedience to Bible reading. If you don't want to read it all the way through, you just ought to be reading it and read some of it every day of your life. And that's a good resolution for you. There's some of you, you have no prayer time. The only time you pray is when you come to church. Maybe you whisper a prayer at mealtime. You know, you ought to pray every day of your life. You ought to set a time aside to where you're reading your Bible. That's God talking to you. And then praying, that's you talking to God. The Christian life, we sometimes let it get so lopsided. Folks, you're to be reading your Bible and then you're to be praying. I wonder, you know, I think probably the greatest weakness among Christians today is a lack of prayer. We dabble in prayer. The average person that was called upon to get on their knees and pray for an hour could not do it. We sing the song, "Sweet Hour of Prayer." Sweet hour of prayer. I tell you this, for most people, you'd be lucky if you get 5 minutes of prayer in a day. Wouldn't it be something if we could all see how much prayer actually goes on? It'd be embarrassing. I'm glad God doesn't reveal that. Somebody in here, you need to decide in 2016, you're going to begin to pray. You're going to get up and you're going to pray. You're going to get up in the morning and you're going to read your Bible. Hey, there's some of you, it's time for you to start just being faithful to church. Just be faithful to church. And all God wants you to do is grow. He wants you to grow. If you come to church one time a week, you ought to step it up. And now, I really think God wants you in church all the time, every time the doors are open. But why don't you grow? If you're coming to church once a week, why don't you start coming twice a week? And then later on, maybe you'd come three times a week or come four times a week. And you might look at me and say, you're a bit of an oddball. No, I'm just from a generation where you were faithful to God's house. You were, if they were having church, you just came to church. But somebody here needs to grow at it. If you want a fresh start, hey, start the year out right. Get your Bible down and read it. And start your year out right. And start praying again. And start your year out right. Stop making up all the excuses as to why you can't make it to church. And show up where you're supposed to be. Hey, some of you need to start telling others about Jesus Christ. You see, you read the Bible, that's God talking to you. You pray, that's you talking to God. You witness, that's you talking for God. And we're all to witness. We sing, the children in children's church sing, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. Some of you are adults and you're not letting your light shine. You don't tell people about Jesus Christ. There are people in this building, you say, well, one of these days I'm going to start showing up for church soul winning, and one of these days I'm going to start telling people about Jesus, and one of these days I'm going to start passing out gospel tracts. You've been saying that for a long time. Why don't you stop lying to yourself and just start doing it? We make all these New Year's resolutions about all these things that we're going to do. Hey, how about we decide that we're going to read our Bible and that we're going to pray and that we're going to show up and be faithful to church. Not just stop by and see us every once in a while. Be in church when you're supposed to be here. Make sure that you're telling others about Christ. We make a lot of New Year's resolutions. Well, they make so many, and I'll tell you this, I would rather you make a commitment and then fail at it than make no commitment to God. You say, I'm not sure, preacher, I can do it. Hey, why don't you try? I would rather you try and fail than try nothing and succeed at nothing. You know that life is merely a series of failures anyway. When you first started learning to eat, you remember your mom gave you a spoon, and she put that pudding right in front of you in a bowl. You looked at the spoon, you looked at the pudding, and you thought, what's this stupid thing in my hand? You threw that spoon aside, you stuck your hands down in that pudding, you started shoving that pudding right towards your food hole, and I mean, you had it all over you, you had it in your hair, that's where you started out. Later on, you learned better, you learned how to use both hands to do it. And you had more food on you than in you. Now, I've looked around this crowd. All of you have learned how to get it in you. But you start out and you fail. When you learn to walk, boy, you look at when you're a brand new baby and you're laying there on the floor and everyone else is up walking around and you're watching them and you begin to think, boy, they get around pretty quick here. And finally, you stand up at the coffee table and you're wobbling all over the place. You remember what a big deal they made out of it when you took a step or two? Yay, Johnny! Call Grandma! You know what? You all are walking pretty good now. But when you first started learning to walk, you fell. You hit your head. I mean, you were injured. You cried bloody murder over that whole thing. But you finally learned to walk. But you failed in the process, but you finally learned it. Now, there's some of you, it's time for you to learn some spiritual things. And you might have to fail a little bit to get there, but God wants you to step up and get some victory in your Christian life. Hey, I'm going to meddling here a little bit, so get ready. I think some of you ought to make a commitment to keep your house clean. You know, you ever heard that old saying, cleanliness is next to godliness? Now, that's not in the Bible, so you know, that's not a verse from the Bible. It's Owens chapter 2, verse 1, okay? But did you know that Christian people are supposed to be clean people? Now, I'm not saying you have to have a nice house. I'm not saying you have to have nice furniture. I'm not saying that. I'm saying what you have ought to be well cared for. I think it ought to be kept clean. You teenagers, clean your room. Clean your room. One of the reasons why you ought to clean your room, teenager, is because one of these days you young ladies are going to be a wife and you're going to have a household to take care of. You young men, you're going to understand. One of these days you're going to have a business and a car. You're going to have a checkbook and you're going to wish that you'd keep it in order so that you would succeed in life instead of fail. And you think mom and dad are just riding herd over you and being mean to you because they want you to clean your room. Clean your room. Even if it would take a bulldozer, go rent one and clean your room, teenager. Maybe some young person in here ought to make a commitment. Say, you know what? My mom and dad are not going to have to harp at me to get me to clean my room. Did you know young people, when mom and dad tell you to go get some clean clothes on, they don't mean to turn what you were wearing yesterday inside out? Say, it was clean on one side. Take care of your clothes. Young people, some of you need to make a commitment that you're going to work on your character and you're going to clean up after yourselves and make a commitment to start this new year out right. You say, well, I get tired of my mom and dad treating me like a baby. Then they don't act like one. You want to be treated like an adult, then act like an adult. Now, so listen, I think you and I, we could make a commitment. We could decide we'll read our Bible. We'll decide we're going to pray. We're going to decide to be faithful to church and tell others about Jesus. I think we'll have to take some risks, though, because we're going to fail. If you try something that's a little bigger than you, you might fail at it. But failure is a part of the ingredient for success. I think there are people here. We ought to decide to keep clean the things that God's given us. It probably wouldn't hurt. There's some of you, in regard to your health, it wouldn't hurt you to decide to do some things to help your health. There are probably people in this room, the way you eat, you ought to better monitor and be careful what you do. I think we need to stop making exceptions. Now, let me explain why. I'm not into the Hollywood, let's impress each other, and this is what beauty is. All that is silliness to me. But I will tell you this. The body that you have was given to you by the Lord Jesus Christ, and that body was given to you so you could serve Him. And if you do not take care of your health, and that's why you might say something about smoking, and that's why you might want to say something about what you eat and you staying in decent shape. Your body was not given to you so that you could enjoy it solely. It was given to you so God could enjoy your service. And you ought to keep yourself healthy so you can serve God. There might be somebody in here that needs to exercise your body so your body is healthier. There might be somebody in here that you're going to have to watch what you eat and how you eat it. Hey, and you know what? It's probably time that some people in here, you make a resolution about your health and you keep it this time. Isn't it getting a little ridiculous that you tell yourself at the beginning of the year there's certain things you're going to do? Within months, you've stopped doing it already again? That's called poor character. And I know there are other preachers that might not say what I'm saying, but I care about you. I want you to succeed. I don't have anything personal against or with anybody in this room. Succeed, folks. That means that you have to tell you you're going to do it, then you get God's help, and then you do it. Look, if lost people can do it, I'd guess saved people can. It's a sad thing that there are people in the world that don't even have the help of Jesus that succeed at things that you can't seem to get done. Well, it's not because God's not doing His part. I can tell you who's not doing their part. It's me and you. Time for some to make those commitments and stick with them. Don't phase them out just in a couple of months. And don't make the commitment emotionally. Oh, I feel like doing it. Boy, if I only did what I feel like doing, I wouldn't get much done in life. You must do what is right to do. It's time for some of you to fix your finances. Fix your finances. If need be, you need to put your credit card away and not use it. It is very quiet in here. Good gravy. Not, don't spend what you don't have. Learn to save a little bit somewhere along the way. And I think there are people in here that are thrifty and careful, but others, you splurge to the point. Did you know you're going to get old someday? You might need a few bucks to pay for some things when you get old. The Bible's very clear that we ought to go to the ant. The ant puts away at harvest time so that when the winter hits, there's something for the ant to eat and for the ant to live off of. Now, folks, some of you need to get your finances under control, which, by the way, to some of you, it also means you need to get yourself straightened out with God financially. The Bible says you rob God, you're always going to struggle. You say, well, I don't give God the tithe, and I don't give the offerings, and I'm doing fine financially. Could I tell you where you would be if you did tithe? You'd be farther ahead. And in, just in case you're confused about it, you say, well, that's just some stupid Baptist doctrine. You might want to check with the Catholics and see if they tithe, and check with the Pentecostals and see if they tithe, and check with the Methodists and see if they tithe. It's in the Bible. But some of you, it's time for you to get your finances in order. Just get them in order. Organize them. Find out what you owe and who you owe. Start paying your bills on time. And did you know you do your church a favor if you'll pay your bills on time? People know you don't pay your bills on time. They find out what church you go to. They think we're all a bunch of rascals that don't pay our bills on time. Okay, we're going to get off that. It's too quiet in here, and I just can't take being all alone up here. Listen, we ought to take care of our bodies and help our health during the new year. We ought to take care of our belongings, whether it's our house or whatever it is we own. Listen, God wants you and I to succeed. And like I said, I didn't make a bunch of New Year's resolutions. But if it will help you, if it will help us, this is the very first Sunday of 2016. And if you are prone to make a commitment at this time of the year for some things that ought to be done, then do it. Somebody in here, you ought to promise God this morning that you will read your Bible every day for this entire year. Somebody in here, you ought to promise God this will be the year you'll read all the way through your Bible. Somebody in here ought to promise God that you will have a prayer time, an organized, committed prayer time every day for this entire year. Somebody in here ought to promise God you're going to be faithful to church. Stop looking for excuses not to show up, but just show up and be faithful to church all year long. Somebody in here ought to promise God you're going to start witnessing. Somebody in here ought to promise that you're going to do what is right in regard to your health for the sake of God. Somebody ought to promise God you're going to get your finances together once and for all. We need folks to use this time of the year if it will help us. If you're not saved, can I recommend that you get saved? If you died today and you're not sure you're on your way to heaven, you ought to get born again. Great way to start your year. Great way. If you're mean, maybe today you ought to say, you know, this year's going to be the year where I'm going to rebuild some of me. The Bible says, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. It may be time for some of you to work on your personality a little bit. Listen, if what I preach offends you, I'm very sorry. I need to tell people what God would have them to hear. If my personality offends you, I need to be working on that. I'm not trying to be offensive. I do need to tell the truth. Sometimes the truth is a little bit offensive. But you and I, we ought to be taking on the personality of Jesus Christ. And it might be we need to work on that a little bit. There, some of you, you struggle with your tongue. You're gossipy. You say things you should not say and in ways you should not say them. Maybe you ought to make a commitment that you'll get your tongue under control this year. 2016, I think we ought to decide that we're going to, as the Scripture says, make this a year of goodness. A year of goodness. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. My first question is this. If you died today, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? If you say, preacher, I don't know that. I'm not sure that if I died today, I would go to heaven. Pray for me, preacher. I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you raise your hand right now and say, I do not know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. I don't know I'm saved. Pray for me. I'm not sure of salvation. Who here could raise your hand and say, I know I'm a born-again Christian. I know I'm saved. I'll raise my hand so God can see it. Would you raise your hand at this time? You say, I know I'm saved. You may put those hands down. God bless you. Okay, well, then maybe you and I, maybe there ought to be someone here today who would say, Pastor, God has spoken to my heart. I realize the importance of the Word of God. I need to make a commitment today to my God that I will get the Bible out and I will read some in my Bible every day this year. And I believe God's spoken in my heart about that. I want to make that commitment to my God today. I'm going to read my Bible every day this year. Would you raise your hand and let God see that? Yeah, lots of hands. Sure. Put your hand down. Who here would say, preacher, I dabble with prayer. Sometimes I pray over my meals. I pray in church, but I don't pray like I should. I believe God would have me make a commitment that I would pray. I would have a season, a time of prayer every day in 2016. I'm going to work out a way to pray to my God every day. I mean, where you actually take a block of time. I'm not telling you how big the block, but you take time and you meet with God and you pray. Who here would say, I believe God would have me make that commitment? And you'll raise your hand. Again, lots of hands. You may put those hands down. How about this question? How about faithfulness to church? Are there people here that would say, I need to be more faithful to church? I believe God would have me to attend to that this year. This will be the year where I'm going to step up. I'll be in church more than ever before, but I need to be more faithful to church. Would you let God see that hand? Yeah. Again, lots of hands, probably 2 dozen, 3 dozen hands. How about witnessing? And we're almost done, folks. Just stay calm and submissive to the Holy Spirit. Hey, how about witnessing, telling others about Jesus? Showing up for the soul winning program or telling others about Christ. Who here would say, preacher, I've got to start telling more about Jesus. This will be a year I'm going to do more. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? Sure. God bless you. Now, you may put those hands down. Let me recommend this. Boy, this thing of New Year's resolutions. I wish when we left this building today, there had been resolutions made by Christians to make this the year of goodness. The year where God does something spectacular in your life. There's some of you, there are some things. You say, I want a fresh start. Oh boy. If you're not saved, come get it. If you are saved, come confess and get that fresh start. Wake up every morning and get that fresh start with God because His mercies are new every morning. If you need a moment at the altar, I wish you'd come. If you're not saved, if you come, you let me know when you come. There'll be others coming, but you come and we'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. I want to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need a moment at the altar? Do you need to maybe come and say, God, I'll seal this thing. I will read my Bible every day. God, I will pray every day. God, I will step up in my church attendance. God, I will start witnessing. God, I'm going to do it. You need a moment at this altar, you come. If you're not saved, maybe you ought to come and let us take a Bible and show you how to be born again. Brother Uriah, I might need your help. Take a moment, you come to the altar, you pray. When you feel like you've spent a moment with God and told Him what you're going to do, you may slip back to your seat. Maybe you're not coming forward. Coming forward is not making a decision. You can make a decision in your seat. There are people, I'm sure, you've not read your Bible like you should. You've not prayed like you should. You've not been faithful to church like you should. You've not told others about Jesus like you should. And you ought to make a commitment to God about it this year. As the world are changing their lives for a variety of reasons, you and I ought to change our lives for Jesus. Let's make a difference in our community. Let's make a difference in the place where we work and in our homes. Your health. There's a lot of reasons I could preach on health. There are a lot of things I could show you in the Bible about health. But just realize something. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. What you put into it and what you do to your body affects God. You'll be a better servant for God if you'll live right in regard to your body. What you put into it, what you take, what you do to yourself. And you're a better testimony too. Some of you need to know your children are watching. There are things that you do with your body that you'd never let your children do. You say, you're not going to do that, but you do it. I would recommend that you realize they not only need your words and instruction, they need your example. Okay, folks.